Okay, hello everyone. Hi, welcome back to another week of YAG. So today actually also marks our very last YAG of the year. So sad, sorry. We'd just like to take this opportunity to thank Pastor Mark for faithfully teaching all of us each week and gifting us such wonderful insights from the book of Ecclesiastes. Having studied about two-thirds of it right now, and with the year coming to a close, I wonder what your thoughts are. For the whole year, we've actually been studying about practical and spiritual wisdom, and coincidentally, for those who are in PMC, you would know this, we also studied the book of Ecclesiastes before recently moving on to the book of Proverbs. So it was like a long year of just like, learn wisdom. And it felt like God was telling me, right, like, oh, this fella knows wisdom. I think he really needs help. So it's like, oh, every week we had a double dose of like wisdom teachings. And a year later, I then asked myself if I'm then any wiser. Little did I realize that this would be tested very quickly at my new job. So the last time I was up here, I spoke about how I was offered a new job and how I was blessed with it. And today, I'm here to share with you that I've also moved into another job, and this time in a local practice doing overseas projects. Now, at the start, if I'm any wiser, I would first realize that each time Pastor Mark has asked me to share up here, right, it's always because like I also just moved job. So I don't think I'll be changing jobs anytime soon. Pro tip. Now, I'm 7 months into this new job, and I thank God that it is actually a far better environment. I've also been granted all the opportunities that I've asked for, and I've obtained favor with my bosses and my peers. But it is also a job riddled with many other challenges. The work itself, for one, has been absolutely relentless, requiring endless design iterations, many of which are actually super abortive. So just to give you an idea, right, of what my job entails, right? Okay, so, let me just make it clear, this is not my files, so it's not my expletives, okay? But it's a meme that a lot of designers would know this, and this is really how my folder would look like. And this doesn't happen across 7 months, this happens across a day. And then I will create another date, a folder with a new date, with a new final _1_2. And this goes on and on. 7 months later, you know, so each time I lament about this, right? I lament about this to Ling, right? And then Ling will say, well, it feels like you've been there for half a year and yet you've achieved nothing. Which is honestly quite true. It's sad, but it's true. And I mean, amidst all of this, I ask myself again, have I obtained any wisdom? And has my newfound wisdom, in if any, served me well? Very quickly, this job revealed to me that I was lacking in wisdom, and direly so. You see, I tend to be very attached to my work. As someone who painstakingly photoshops something or draws something up really nicely, and I end up having this hope and dream that the project will be built the way as I design it. It's a classic architect's curse. But being then confronted with a perpetual word called change, I thought it was therefore wise to adopt Solomon's perspective of labor. So we all know this, right? Like, as he famously began, vanities of vanities. And I look at my work, I'm like, what profit is there to even do what I'm doing today? And then even worse, in chapter one, further down, right? If I were to adopt Solomon's perspective, which is what I did, if I see my drawing, my line is crooked, right? Never mind, I don't need to make straight. It's going to change again anyway. Or if I see the toilet, not enough toilet bowls, it's lacking. Never mind, it's going to change again. So never mind. And to be very honest with you, at the start, I thought that this was new wisdom obtained. And I actually felt better. I really did. I started to become more detached from my work. And sometimes whenever there's a request for another change, I would just laugh it off and tell myself, oh, yay, another day of no work done and everything we do. But I was also reminded eventually that this was a very wrong and negative spirit that I had. In actual fact, what I had adopted was a spirit of resignation, which often led to a sense of emptiness. It wasn't that I wasn't doing my job, or as Sean put it last week, right, quiet quitting, right? I wasn't doing that. But still, I had this kind of dismissive and very negative, never mind attitude that I knew didn't please the Lord. So one of the key lessons that I took time to reflect, one of the key lessons that I took away was how to perceive work and labor, and also the, you know, the finances that come with it, right? And there were quite a number of texts, but one of them that really helped me to structure this correct perspective was taken from chapter 5. So in chapter 5, Solomon spoke of how, you know, at the end of the day, yes, we toil and we labor, but with whatever riches, whatever wealth, and whatever is provided from that workplace, it is the gift of God, something to be enjoyed also. But beyond that, it was also more important than that I busy my heart with the joy of the Lord. So looking at this text, it helped me to realize that it wasn't simply enough for me to just detach myself, but it was also meant for me to fill my heart with the joy of the Lord. It's not enough to just enjoy the fruits of our labor. So sometimes I'll just go back and I'm like, oh, ice cream, that's wet. And I thought I'll feel better, right? But no, it was more important to fill myself with the joy of the Lord. Now, adding to this, I think I would like to recall this thing. So I don't know if this will ring a bell, right? But Pastor Mark shared with us 10 P's. So I call it the PPP. And this really, really helped me to frame my perspective of labor. So what's PPP? It's not People's Progress Party. It's Pastor Mark's powerful piece. Okay, the whole list of 10 P's. I don't know if you remember this, but this has never left me. So I won't read through this list. If you have it in your own notes, that would be great. But these P's were really instrumental in helping me navigate the challenges at this new workplace. Well, the past 7 months have been very frustrating, yes. No doubt I don't see any progress, right, in my projects. Another P. But I'm happy to say that there is some progress on the wisdom front. I'm thankful that this newfound wisdom, albeit just a little, has made it a bit easier for me to persevere at work. And now at least I don't just see emptiness. At the end of the day, I see a new sense of joy that the Lord has given me. I must admit, though, I still struggle because this change is never ending. Literally, my work as of today, as of yesterday, is as if I'm back at day one of my job. It's still a struggle, but I thank God that He continues to teach graciously and He continues to guide, and that He ever so gently nudges me towards being a wiser servant of His. So today, to sing our last song together for the year, I chose this song, and I thought this song aptly sums up our hope and prayer for the year, and it's entitled Christ Our Wisdom. As we sing this song, let us offer it to the Lord also as a prayer, asking Him to help us trust when we grow weary, to free us from our anxious thoughts, to give us grace so that we can see more clearly. Because ultimately, God is God alone and we are not. So let us take this song together. It's a relatively new song, but I think quite easy for all of us to catch. Let's take this song together.
Okay, thank you, Joe, for leading us in the time of singing. And it's good. It's good for you guys to take time to reflect over the year and over what we have learned. It's not but just the piece, but really the lessons that have been a blessing, a difference, that made a difference in your life, those are the things that you want to keep in mind, and really being able to see how God's word can be so relevant and real. And that to me is something that's why I study the word of God, whether it's Ecclesiastes or 1 Corinthians or any other book. I think we just want to be able to see how God's word continues to be so vital, right? That it's not something that you can do without. To me, the word of God is so crucial in giving us the kind of, whether it's perspective, whether it's purpose, whether it's understanding that we need in life. You know, to me, that's so important. Okay, so we'll come to the last YAG for the year. And next week, we will have our Christmas party. Let's look forward to ending the year on a very strong note, and then we can look forward to the season of Christmas. Okay, well, let's pray and then we can begin. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we truly want to thank you for this whole year in which you have been able to teach us precious lessons from the book of Ecclesiastes to look at life, how we should look at work, more importantly, how we can discover more about you and your place in our lives. We recognize there are times when it's not easy to face life's realities, but we thank you for your word that gives us that encouragement, that uplift to our hearts in order to face these realities. We pray that you will bless us, enlighten us, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So last week, we looked at the paradoxes of life, another P, and we really want to be able to have not just a human approach, but rather a more divine approach or a biblical approach, especially in learning what it means to trust in God. Especially, there are times where things can be too difficult for us to understand. And then we go on to the profundity of God, another P, so just to add on to your list, that we want to be able to trust in. We recognize it's never easy. Life is just so full of complex and difficult circumstances that we need to struggle with, but nonetheless, we can turn to God at each time. Okay, so we're going to go on to chapter 9. We've been through 8 chapters, and it's good to take time to reflect and review what we have learned from all these different chapters. So let's look at chapter 9. And as we look at verse 1, it says, "For I considered all these in my heart so that I could declare it all." And that's important. Take time to consider. I think we also got to give it to Solomon. He takes time to think through things. He considers observations, life circumstances, and he considers these things not just with the mind, but in the heart. Right? He is involved in going through these things, and then he would be committed in declaring. Right? Now let's look at verse 1. And he says, "For I considered all this in my heart so that I could declare it all, that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of God. People know neither love nor hatred by anything they see before them." Today we're going to take a bit of time to focus on what it means for us to look at the hand of God. Right? And we all look at life from a very personal standpoint. And that's very natural. That's normal. That's something that we all do. Right? And we look at the problems of life. Right? And when we deal with these problems, oftentimes it is based upon our human wisdom. It is based upon our limitations, and so on and so forth. And we recognize that we can't go beyond a certain level. You try and solve all the problems there are. I mean, you look at our government, they're trying to resolve a lot of things in our country, vaping, and well, it helps to a certain extent, but human beings, as they are, they will find a way to do things, right? And yet, when we look at life, How do we bring in the hand of God? Right? Now, he says here that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of God. And that's something for us to think about. So Solomon was actually thinking of a select group of people, the righteous and the wise. And they have their works. Their works will be righteous in more ways than one. It will be wise works, right? And then we see how there is the hand of God. All are in the hand of God, meaning He's in control of everything. Everything that we do, everything that we go through, right? So, which includes the works that we see, the works that are done, they all are in the hand of the Lord. And the question is, can we see what is invisible? See, that's the challenge. We all tend to see from a very physical standpoint, right? So he makes this observation. People know neither love nor hatred by anything they see before them, right? So then he is also looking at this other group, and he recognizes people are limited in their knowledge, in their experience. They are unable to know things beyond a certain level, like love, hatred. They're just limited. So you only see things at the surface. You only see things as you observe them. But oftentimes, people don't go beyond. You don't look at what is far more deeper, or rather what is far more invisible, right? And of course, Solomon doesn't think very much of this group of people. So the challenge is, can we truly see the hand of God, which is far often than not invisible? So you look at an event, you look at the circumstances that we go through. Can we see the hand of God? Can we see the hand of God in everything that we go through, the challenges of life, even the profundity, the profound things of life? So there's something for us to think about, okay, to start off. And then we are going to focus a little bit more on the question or the issue of death. Well, to end the year, we talk about death, right? The end of all things, okay. The end of life, right? And I'm just going to be very frank and open, right? When you think about how do we look at this question of death, right? But what do you think? I mean, when you look at life, you look at circumstances, can we always see the hand of God? What do you think? Paul, what do you think? Very honestly, when we look at life, yes, we go through different circumstances, we make choices, but often than not, can we really see the hand of God?
yeah, let me think about this. I think maybe I just use myself as an example.
Yeah, sure.
I think that's why you that's why you look at me first. Okay, but
you because you're the first person sitting there. So. Go ahead. Yeah.
I think that you can plan all that you want. Another P, you can plan all the things that you want in the world.
Whatever, go ahead. Yeah, plan.
For whatever purpose, another P.
Yeah, sure.
But at the end of the day, right, came to realization that a man may plan his steps, but ultimately it's the Lord that determines his ways.
Yes.
That he can take and he should be the one taking.
Yeah.
And sometimes it takes life-changing scenarios to change that perspective, to look into things at a different level, a more deeper level.
Yeah. Which is not easy, right?
Yeah. It's a consistent struggle.
Yeah, correct. Precisely. At the end of the day, we struggle with this. So what is personal, right? Your plans, your purpose, your own understanding. So you're right. And we struggle, you see. That's a reality that we all face. Because it's the way we see things. We see our lives, we plan our lives, we see what's our future. We kind of, okay, this is how things are going to be like. And then when things change, how? Right? What if things change, and what if it includes this question of death? How would you then see that kind of circumstance? Well, let's look at verse 2. He says, all things come alike to all, and one event happens to the righteous and the wicked. To the good, the clean, and the unclean. To him who sacrifices and him who does not sacrifice. As is the good, so is the sinner. He who takes an oath as he who fears an oath. Okay, so it is one event that happens to every single person. Right? Whether you are righteous or not, death will still come. That is a reality. Right? Whether you are good or bad. Whether you injure or not. Whether you are clean or unclean. Whether you sacrifice or not. So you look at the workplace, some people, wow, they sacrifice a lot. They work like crazy, right? And then along the way, you have people who are your skivers and who don't work very much, right? But they're all the same. Whether a good person or a sinner, whether you have taken an oath or one who fears the oath, right? All will die, whether you're young or old, rich or poor, that is reality. And it's sobering. Every single person will have to face this reality of death. It happens. That's why Solomon struggled. He struggles with, right, we have spoken about death quite a bit here and there. Because Solomon continues to struggle with this. And it will also be another struggle that all of us will have to come to terms with. Right? Whether it's about our own death or the death of our loved ones or anybody else. That is a reality. We will all have to face this. So this week, Clement's grandma passed away and visited him and the mum. Right? Auntie Marianne's mom passed away. And, you know, she's 94. She's lived a long life. So the question that was raised, would you like to live to 94? Would you all like to live to 94? Any of you? Yes? No? Right? I don't think I want to live to 94. That's a long time. Right. 94, wow. That's so long. Right? And then recently we also conducted the funeral for Madam Tan, right? Lian Heng's mother. She was 89 years old. Well, this is a reality that we all have to face. And we need to think about this. Okay, then we go on to verse 3. This is an evil in all that is done. Sorry, yeah. This is an evil in all that is done under the sun. That one thing happens to all. Truly the hearts of all the sons of men are full of evil. Madness is in their hearts while they live. And after that, they go to the dead. So he then makes this comment about how he looks at death. Death, it is evil, right? It happens to all. So it's not something that is easily dealt with. And then you have all these evil people. Remember we were talking about if you're wicked, doesn't mean that your wickedness, right, in chapter 8, verse 14. There is vanity which occurs on earth. There are just men to whom it happens according to the work of the wicked. Again, there are wicked men to whom it happens according to the work of the righteous. And, right? And whatever happens, sooner or later, death will come. Right? So how? How? How do you come to terms with this reality? Right? How do you see the hand of God, even with this question of death? And, you know, some of you, we are growing on in life, you're getting older, and what that means also is that your parents are also getting older. And the reality of death is always something that we all need to come to terms with. And how would you face this reality? We all understand that death will happen to all, right? As righteous, God will bless us, right? But yet, at the same time, death will come. And how do we look at this idea of the hand of God? Even with the question of life and death. Okay. Alina, what do you think? Kwa.
Sorry, Pastor Mark, can you repeat your question?
No, what do you think about this whole idea of life and death, right? We look at life and we all are, okay, this is how life is going to be, but it's, you know, we all hope that things will turn out, things will, you know, everything will figure out according to how we plan it to be. But then death has a way of coming into the picture. So how? Whether it's a loved one or a friend, we all will have to face this sooner or later. You have a friend who is facing that reality. So how?
I think it's always difficult, but it's more difficult when you know that someone's death might be permanent and eternal.
Yeah.
I think faith helps us to see that physical death is just the gateway to being with the Lord, and that in itself, there's comfort. There is obviously the tussle with losing a loved one, but always easier to accept. But when we consider death of someone who may not be saved, I think that one I struggle with a lot more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, since you brought it up, let's talk about that. How do you look at death of someone, let's just say, who is not saved? It's a difficult reality, right? And yet, at the same time, won't you be thinking, should I have done this, should I have done that, should I have, right? So the question is, what could have been, you know, done? right? At the same time, how do you see this as part of the overall hand of God? Because ultimately, we all are in the hand of God, right? When it's time, it's time. We all have to accept that reality, right? How do we then bring in faith? So you brought out a very challenging point, right? Where someone is not saved. The other question is also having to look at this idea of how do we look at whether we have done all we can, whether it's medically, whether we have sought to do what was necessary with regards to this person's health, and yet at the end of the day, the person was taken home. Whether Christian or not. You follow what I'm trying to say? I speak from experience, and it had to do with my own parents. How do I look at the circumstances? Because, one, so I experienced different scenarios. One was with regards to my dad, who suddenly passed away. As in, one day he was there playing golf, the next day he was gone. How to face that kind of reality? Right? And the thoughts that you have after that. So that's one. Two, the other one was with regards to my mom and having to deal with COVID during that time, but also how do we look at things from a medical standpoint? Meaning, did we do all that was necessary to help her? And yet, can we still see the hand of God? So, I speak from experience, and actually at the end of this month, the 30th is actually my dad's passing anniversary. So he passed away 5 years ago. So every time he comes to that kind of anniversary, thoughts will come. We of course visit, and I still think about things like this. Right? So, anybody wants to try? Yes, we bring in faith, but what if the thoughts still come? How do you deal with these realities? What do you think? Are you deep in thought or I lost you somewhere along the way? Yeah, go ahead. What do you think?
Yeah, it's on. Yeah. I don't. For me, I look in the view of the hand of God. I see it more like in the form of rebuke. I think that's where I feel that I see the hand of God.
Okay, so when you think about the hand of God, there are many different perspectives, right, concerning the hand of God or aspects about. So, for instance, can God deliver us? So, God delivered Israel from Egypt by his hand. So, that's one part. Right? Can God with his hand rebuke and bring about judgment? Sure. But here we are talking about how we are in the hand of God. That means we would have to come to terms with how God would decide things for us, especially about life and even death. That's where we are coming from what we are studying today. You follow? So, the review part is part of it. But that's another aspect. Right? So how would you understand this? Okay. Angela, what do you think? Let's ask Angela.
Mm. I mean, for me, I'm a person who is always a bit practical. So I think for me, when I think of events that happened and how the hand of God was surely there, a lot of it to me is in hindsight. That's how I see the hand of God. But I think
going through it is always difficult, right?
Yeah. I mean, going through it is at the same time having that cognitive recognition that surely the hand of God is here and I'm in that moment helped by the hand of God in everything. Then that's where my practical side in a way kicks in, because then it turns into like, okay, what am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to be living in this whole situation? So in a way, I guess trying to put into practice lessons that I come across on the spot, but at the same time struggling because it's difficult to take a bird's eye view of the situation when you're in it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, so the struggles will come, right? Yeah. In more ways than one. You're right, right? We take a very practical approach. We really want to be able to. Well, let's turn to Psalm 31. And so it's good to actually work things out for yourself, how you want to approach things. And to me, Psalm 31 is an important psalm to work with, because it works with trust, right? And look at verse 14. But as for me, I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. So it's always good to begin with God and understand you are my God. Right? And then in verse 15, my times are in your hand. Now, that is where the profundity lies. My times are in your hand. Whatever years that we have, whatever time we have, whatever season of life that we are in, whether life or death, can we trust the Lord and say, my times are in your hand? Right? Righteous, wise, we are in the hand of the Lord. Can we trust? Can we trust that the death of our loved ones are in the hand of God? Can we really believe that no matter how things turn out? Because along the way, we make all kinds of decisions. Say, for instance, with regards to my mom's, in and out of hospital. She went to, over a full period of 7-8 months, she was in hospital about 7 times. In and out, in and out, in and out. I mean, I give it kudos to all the doctors and the nurses and everybody. It's never easy. And really, they do all they can. But we also have to make decisions concerning, what she needs, what she should do, and so on and so forth. And yet, at the end of the day, her time is up. And the Lord took her home. And for me, I'm very glad that the Lord took her home. She didn't have to suffer anymore. And, she is with the Lord. But yet, the reality is, I still struggle at times. During, after, post. So you have hindsight, but then you have post-event. And you still think, oh, maybe I should have done that. Oh, maybe I should have done that. Oh, maybe I could have done this better, or what? And how do you do this? How do you deal with that? Right? So you struggle still. But not only that, you wake up in the middle of the night without even like wanting to think about things, it just comes. And you wake up thinking, oh, maybe I should have done that, maybe I shouldn't. And then you are kind of kept awake at night. So how? Now, these are what I'm just sharing with you from a very personal standpoint. These are the realities that I went through, that others may go through, that you may go through in time. But what really helped me in the end is not trying to figure things out. Because you know that no matter you go left, you go right, you go back, you go forward, there's no end to the different scenarios and so on and so forth. That ultimately, you just have to go back to this. You are my God. My times are in your hand. And leave it at that. You just go to God and say, God, I'm just going to leave everything to you. My life, what has happened, all that has happened to my loved ones and to others. And I'm just going to leave it with God. My times are in your hands. And that's it. And when I finally could do that, and it took me a while, when I finally could do that, and the funny thing is that it will keep coming back to you. And you need to remind yourself, you need to go back to what you recognize as a, you know, whether it's a conclusion, a perspective of faith and understanding, just going back to God, because I tell you, these things will come back to you. And I need to remind myself again and again and again. Each time the anniversary comes out, I mean, it's good for us to remember. But you don't want to remember until it causes you to be affected. You shouldn't, because you already know. Our loved ones is with the Lord, and so on and so forth. Right? Even if it regards to someone who is not safe, you just got to go back to the Lord and recognize it is in the hand of the Lord. And that is our trust and our faith, and that's what we need to focus on. I recognize it's not easy. For me, even though it has been, you know, a reality that I had to go through, and even though I'm much older than you guys, I've learned a little bit more than you guys, but it is still a reality that I had to learn and struggle with, and now to be able to speak about it. And it's not easy. It is not easy. Never. And I'm not trying to say that you should make it hard. That's not what I'm trying to say. It will just come naturally. Right? Either that or you just don't care. Which is not what we want, right? Because at the end of the day, you end up looking at things from a very resigned standpoint. Very much like what Solomon does, which is vanity of vanities. Which is not what we want to do. Because you end up with a very, don't care, couldn't care less, very indifferent, very much what Joe was talking about, which you realize is not the best for us, because then after a while you become very unresponsive, unfeeling, and so on and so forth, which is not what we want. But yet, if we were to, to be engaged, to try and understand and yet, to look for answers and solutions and so on and so forth, you're not going to find them, which is what we talked about last week, about the paradoxes of life. So then we need to go back to faith. We need to go back to God to recognize that our times are in His hands and live it as that. It's good for you to think it through. I recognize that for some, this is still, you know, not something that you will think about very much, but nonetheless, it is a reality. And we all have to come to terms with it in our own way, in our own perspective, and with the kind of faith that we need to be able to face these realities. And I hope that this is something that we all can learn to do. I keep going back to this, you know, whether when we talk about our times are in His hands, whether it's about His will, whether it's about His plan, it is being able to apply faith, being applied that trust in recognizing whether it's life, circumstances, whatever we go through, right? Change of job, change of circumstances, and so on and so forth, and especially when you think about death and that reality. We need to be able to see the hand of God. Okay, take time to discuss this further as you go into your groups and really to be able to exercise faith so much more. Well, let's go to God in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we pray that even as we look at life once again and we recognize how challenging it can be. Sometimes we know what we ought to do, but facing these realities can be a struggle. We pray that you will help us to continue to learn, to look to you, to your word, and to recognize that our times, whether on earth or after this life, that we are in your hands. And we really need to learn what it means to put our absolute trust in you. And we pray, Lord, that you will just continue to learn and to be that much more enlightened concerning this matter. We pray that even as we give an offering, we pray that you will bless this offering. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.